This is Getting Past Subtitles. My name is Sean Peel.
And I'm DK Lee.
And welcome to week number 3 of what I thought was a series about having like little money and then having no money. And then somehow you get all the money and then you lose all said money because of like morals or something.
Maybe.
Right? Isn't that's how it ends?
I guess. I mean, this kind of had that, except for the moral part.
And that happened like, as you just like in the middle, like beginning, that kind of like set it off.
Mm.
But it certainly didn't end that way.
Yeah.
I guess not. But what we ended up with this week was more like, you're so poor.
Yeah.
That you gotta use your life into slavery as collateral.
I mean, while I was watching the movie, I was like, oh wow, this movie seems a lot like Squid Game.
Yeah, yo. I was gonna make that joke so many times on this episode.
And lo and behold, it was inspired. Squid Game was inspired by Kaiji.
By Kaiji.
In some aspects.
There's an entire scene that is literally ripped from this movie.
Yeah. And but I like the way that they did it in Squid Game.
Yes,
so much.
And I was like, but it feels like this was a bad rip of Squid Game.
Well, I mean, to be fair, it's better. It's so much easier to improve upon something than be the first one to, think about something. So I mean, I give them, you know, their props. Uh-huh. They did it so much better in Squid Game. I feel like we can go into it more later.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, there was a lot of, I think, just general like ideas and the ways that the movie flowed that was very similar, I think, in Squid Game as well. And I can see like a lot of the inspirations that he got from it, from like all these, for example, for all these people who are the lowest of lows, who are desperate and they need money and they play games to try to like, you know, make it big.
Yeah,
that's very prevalent in this movie. There's also like the fact that they play like basically child games, right? Like
rock paper,
very simple games, I should say.
Yeah.
Not necessarily child games in this movie, but just like very simple games that anyone can do, and that's kind of the thing that
pulls a little bit of a through line,
that pulls them through.
Yeah, but like the kid games here were made a little complicated than necessary.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not degree. Really kid games, right?
Not really.
Only rock paper scissors is basically, but that's not technically a kid game. It's more like
it's like they did. They're like not even. Like, you can't really call them gambling, like, technically yet.
It is gambling, right? Because they're wagering their life and they're also wagering money.
Yeah. But they're not playing, like traditional card games or, like, you know, or dice or anything like that.
Except for the last game, which was kind of a card game, but it's kind of like a.
It's like a more. Like a gamey.
It is a game.
Yeah.
It's more of a game than a card game.
Yeah.
It just happens to use these, like, card looking things.
Well, nothing like casino related in this movie.
Yeah.
I guess is really what we're trying to get at.
But they are still gambling, so it is.
Yes.
It is. Yeah.
It is gambling.
Mm.
Fine. Do they earn the title? I guess.
Yeah.
But it definitely just overall my feelings. It's like a worse Squid Game. Really. It's just not a good movie.
I think I enjoyed the movie like up to like the half of the movie. And then it was really, really draggy.
Yes.
Like in the middle of the movie and even like towards the end of the movie.
You think, once he goes into slavery, you think is that the middle point?
Even
for you?
Then I thought it was like still okay, but it's when they were doing the walking across the bridge really was draggy.
That was like for,
and I was like, man, like this is, it, it and and like if I talk about this, I'll have to compare it with Squid Game and then kind of like talk about that. But should we go over the synopsis today, or you want to just like go through?
Yeah, I could do something really quick. But I can talk a little bit about the movie. So obviously, so Kaiji, The Ultimate Gambler. So it came out in 2009. I it's a little dated for me, I guess, you know. It's right at the cup of 2010, but yeah. It's cool. It's whatever. Directed by Toya Sato. This is actually an adaptation from a manga called Kaiji. There's like, I forgot what the arc is called, but like the first movie is based off, I think, of like a specific arc.
Yeah.
But this is the first movie in a trilogy, with part two releasing in 2011, so like right after. And then they didn't even get the final movie till 2020, so it's been like 10 years.
Yeah.
But they brought everybody back, which is pretty interesting.
They must have been like a lot older.
That's like 10 years. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You got to add plus 10 to every actor that was, or at least the main guy.
Yeah.
So that's a huge difference for sure. But yeah, I guess it did seemingly okay.
Especially, I mean, if they made a trilogy out of it, then it must have done okay, right?
I feel like that's just like a Japanese thing, though. They're just like, we're committed to doing all of it.
Regardless.
Like, yeah, I don't know if they're very much like,
oh, I mean, it couldn't have been so bad that it couldn't have been a negative that they were unwilling. Like, you know what I mean? If it was a negative, they would not, you know.
It probably just like was like baseline.
You need to make a profit at least for it to like, you know, have some kind of drawing power for the next.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, considering that it was adapted from the manga, I feel like it would still have like a general fan base.
Right.
Who would be interested in watching the movie.
The manga is so old though. Like, I think the manga is really dated.
Yeah, still.
So, I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, the movie feels like a very adaptation movie, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's very corny. And it's kind of got, like, you know, like, a lot of excessive and over-the-top scenarios and, like, plot and, you know, kind of, like, just the whole vibe of it all. But, yeah, the movie's pretty much about this guy whose name is Kaiji, and he's dirt poor. And, like, it's weird because actually it's not even like, I mean, he's poor, but he's not like in super debt himself, right? It's that he
gets framed.
Yeah. Basically. Or he like basically like co-signed to a loan with somebody who whatever happened to him and all the debt was on him after they wasn't going to find him. So he's like in debt because of somebody else. And then he's like, basically he meets Rinko Endo. And she's like, well, you can play this game and make all the money back and, like, pay off your debt and some, so to speak. And he's like, yeah, let's do it. And he gets put into this, like, cruise ship with a bunch of other people, like, of his caliber.
In debt.
in debt, basically. Yeah, yeah. And there's this guy named Tonegawa who he's, like, we don't even know his title, but like basically he's like running this whole program that's like this game to pretty much like giving it a chance to everybody that's in debt to kind of win it back, but they get even into more debt.
Yeah, but if you lose, you have to work for this company who's trying to build this underground like fallout shelter, but it's not just a fallout shelter. It's basically like a luxury, luxury resort like fallout shelter that's massively big underground,
right?
And they're using these people in debt as basically slaves for their
right. So if they win, they pretty much get a free pass, and if they lose, they get put into slavery to like repay their debt essentially. Yeah. But basically to like build this literal kingdom that like the president of this whatever company wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Kaiji pretty much has like this little rivalry with this guy named Hunai, and they play an iteration of rock, paper, scissors in this first game where they have cards, rock, paper, and scissors. And they have, for each one they win, they have to like take stars. And so like the condition to win is like you have to have at least 3 stars and you have to have no cards in your hand in order to move on. And so it kind of drags on, and Kaiji pretty much makes friends with this old guy named Koji. And eventually they make it out together. That is until Koji like realizes that he had a card, and he's about to be brought into slavery. And then Kaiji's like, "No, wait, we were in it together, so I go with you." And then they both end up into slavery together.
Yeah.
And then it's like, How long passes? How long?
It's not. It's ambiguous. They don't really tell you how long.
I thought he says like 15 years. I'm like, ain't no way in hell it's been like 15 years.
I don't think so.
It's been a while. It's been a while that they've been in slavery, basically.
Because he gets his first paycheck.
Right.
So he must have been pretty recent when he gets his first paycheck.
It's probably been a month because they get it every monthly, okay, right? Yeah. So, okay. So a month that he's been working there, he gets his first paycheck. But they don't even get real money. They get like this fake
currency.
Currency?
KI currency. Called a parika or something.
Like parika, like that. Like they basically just spend it on snacks, and it's worth like 10% of a yen or something. Like it's like it's just like what would be a dollar in that currency would be like 10 cents to us, basically, right? So he's like doing that, and then he finds out that there's like if you get into like even more debt or like. You can take a chance to kind of like escape, quote unquote, through this challenge, you can say, called Brave Man's Road, I think it was called, right? And he like, basically they're like kind of bunched up into like platoons almost, right? And one of the guys who gets like sick, his name is Makoto Sahara. Pretty much he like can't work anymore because he's like sick. And so his only option is to do the road. And then Kaiji, being rebellious, like, also wants to do it with him. Yeah, volunteers to go with him. And it's, like, basically in exchange for your life to do that. Yeah. So it's, like, life or death. So they go up to, like, the surface, finally, into the rooftop of, like, the company headquarters, wherever it is. And the game or challenge is basically to walk, like, a beam from...
One building like, to another. One skyscraper to another.
Yeah, because like a twin skyscraper. Like think twin towers, essentially.
Yeah.
And think of like just the beam in between. Yeah. And so they have to walk. It's literally the beam scene from Squid Games. Through and through.
Mm.
Vests and all.
Oh, yeah.
So they have to do that. But they can walk it, but they can't touch the beam or they get electrocuted, right? So there's like them and there's like 20 other people. And... basically, everybody dies, including the old guy, in a very long and tragic sequence. But then Sahara and Kaiji make it to the other side. But then Sahara dies after opening up the window because it's like poof of air. And then, you know, plot twist death, I guess you can say. So Kaiji is the only one who makes it back. And pretty much, basically, you get like a 10 million check, essentially, at the start. And if you make it to their side, you get to keep it and cash it in, essentially. So he gets his winnings along with Koji's winnings, but he's kind of denied Koji's winnings, essentially. And Kaiji, like, in another rebellious moment, kind of challenges Tonegawa and, like, everybody there. And, like, the head president, like, is like, oh, takes an interesting of this guy. And then he, like, convinces him to play another game, which is, like, an all-or-nothing kind of wager, essentially. Basically using, I guess, the 10 million that he had, right? And it's, like, a 3-to-1 odd.
It's a 10 million that he had, but he was in debt, so he had, like, it's all the debt that gets paid off with the 10 million, and then whatever he has left over.
So it was only like 400,000. Like it was something ridiculous.
Yeah, it was
right?
like 700,000 or something like that that he had left.
So he has to play this game called the
E-card.
E-card?
Yeah.
That's what.
And the E stands for the Emperor.
Oh, Emperor, yeah. Right. Yeah, E-card. And basically, like, the way that it goes is so you either like the Emperor's side or the slave side, and you get 5 cards, is it?
And one of them is the emperor and one of them is a slave for it to 2 sides.
And the other 4 are citizens.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like rock, paper, scissors, essentially. Mm. You can think of it that way. Where it's like basically emperor beats citizen and then citizen beats a slave. Slave loses to everybody. He can only beat the emperor, though. So it's basically like, so it's obviously the slave is in a disadvantage. And that's why you have like a 1-to-5 chance in winning. So anyway, he plays a game and he wagers it and then he loses twice to Tanegawa pretty convincingly. And then he goes back into slavery for the rest of his life. But then he convinces Rinko Endo to side with him
and loan him more money to win again after like giving him his ultimate strategy.
Yeah.
So he goes back to the table and like they agree to play again. And then he ends up winning reluctantly. And yeah, he comes out on top, and then Tanegawa ends up going into slavery because the president's like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
And so Rinko and Kaiji kind of like are finally broken from the system, you can say. And they go out to celebrate. And then Rinko Endo basically rips off Kaiji by stealing all of his money in like excuse of repaying all the debt that he'd owed, including the debts that he's amounted while playing the game. And that's only left him with like 100,000 yen,
yeah.
Just like a couple hundred bucks, basically, after like earning millions. And that's pretty much the end of the movie. Like, he pretty much does a full circle with Koji, the old guy, who's like, give money to my daughter, who's also in debt because of me. And he does that, and that's pretty much the end of the movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simplistic, all in all. They don't even, there's like three games that are played in total, really. There's not like a lot that's going on. I think like the biggest problem is that they're really dragged out.
Yeah.
Like, each one of them is like really, really long.
I think it really is the execution of the games and the way that they are trying to, it's like what they're trying to emphasize, right?
Yeah.
For example, like what I was going to talk about with the beam, the game with the beam and then walking across the bridge is like, it's you lose the tension of them like and of them and the fear of them falling when you have them have monologues in the middle of them like in the rain like standing and like they're acting like they're about to fall, but you're like, obviously if you're gonna do this monologue you're not falling, right? The believability there like really falls off. No pun intended. Like it really like makes you feel like, wow, like if you had all this time to be talking, you could have just
one walked, foot in front of the other, man.
Yeah, one foot in front of the other and you would have probably made it by then. And then like at the end of that, when like Sahara opens the door and like he falls off, like that is not how air pressure works, first of all.
And I like how Tanegawa is like knew all along is like,
it's like yes.
Difference in air pressure. Dun dun dun.
But the thing is like he had the doorknob, right?
Yeah.
If you were holding on to the doorknob and you opened it, you wouldn't have fallen like that. You could have still hold on to the doorknob and you'd be fine, you know? Like just like little like inconsistencies like that really like kind of just like annoyed me a lot in this movie. Like also the even like when they're playing the cards in the beginning of the game. The first game, like, what rule was there where he's like, if you hold on to, like, if the two guys hold on to the card, you lose, like that, like, those kind of things. And, like, the other thing was, he was playing Funai first, right? And he got rid of, like, basically, like, all of his cards except for one.
Yeah.
So, technically, he only has one card left. Like, he can't. He can't get more cards unless that's part of the, you know, the rules, right? Like, how is he able to? Because at the end, he with what's the guy's name?
Koji.
He's like drawing right with Koji using Koji's cards.
Yeah.
But that's not part of the rules either. Like, once you're done with the one card, then you're done with the game, right?
There was also no rule saying that you couldn't like team up cards.
And yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like the thing is like it's so like just whatever. You know what I mean? Like like you can make up whatever and be like, okay, I want to go into, so basically he just volunteered to go into slavery. And it just kind of like
literally
like he, because he's like, oh, I don't want to leave you behind. So that's what he did. But it I don't know, it just kind of all feels very like forced, right?
Yeah.
It feels very forced.
Yeah, there was no like, I don't know, like there's just no even like reason or drive for anything like ever in the movie, I feel like, as far as even why like Kaiji's in debt, like everything with him.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, like even no the motivation,
the setup was bad too.
Yeah. Yeah,
The movie, it's interesting because like while I was watching it, I did think it was pretty interesting until like the half of the movie. And I think most of that was because of the premise of the movie, like what the movie is trying to do and the concept of like this guy. And obviously the concept is basically the same as Squid Game, which is why I'm saying like, Squid Game just did it better, I feel like. But it's just that concept of like a man like struggling and doing whatever he can and using his wits to try to overcome these things. And I thought that was a fun and interesting premise, which is why like I kept on, you know, I was interested through and through. And I even think that the Emperor card game was pretty interesting too. And I think that was pretty interesting. It's just the way that they executed and the length of time that they wait on like all the subplot, like the monologues and all of that, internal things that they like literally like spew out. That's what makes it really hard to watch, I think.
Yeah.
Like you need to have it so that the audience, you have to trust the audience to understand that things happen and like you and the audience will understand that regardless of you like having to like say it verbatim, like, yeah. You know, with your words, like with dialogue. And I think that's what like this movie kind of misses.
Yeah.
Like it misses the mark on that aspect.
It's like, again, I feel that's a very kind of like, you know, manga anime adaptation thing where if you read like a lot of manga or anime, especially with these kinds of
stories. It does that a lot, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, where it's. Where it's like gambling or a game, and it's like you have this smart character, and it's like,
and he's like,
gotta explain like everything. The plan, like this is how I'm gonna do it, and this was like how I solved the mystery.
Or even like Death Note, where like L is like, oh yeah, I had, you know, I was watching through the monitor and the little like cookie, like the chips, the bag of chips or whatever. Like it's that like explanation part of mangas that kind of. As the audience, as a reader, you're like, oh yeah, I understand what's going on, but like as a film medium, you're like,
we can see action. Like,
yeah, we're watching it, we're seeing what's happening, and people, you know, emote things even when they're trying not to. Right, that's the thing about human beings is like they try to hide things, but like they're not the best at hiding things. Yeah, I think, you know, in Squid Game, there are moments where like the character is trying to hide things, but like. Clearly, they can't because they're like the tension's up. Yeah. You know, they're about to die. Like there are these things that, like, I'll give you an example. Like, there's that moment when I actually forget his name, but the smart guy, you know who I'm talking about?
The glasses guy.
The guy with the glasses, smart guy who is friends with I forget the main character.
I don't know everybody's name.
Anyway,
the main character is like, he's like acquainted with him
because
he's
like It was his like childhood, like a older, like, you know, person he used to know, right? And he was, you know, he was like an investor, but like he went to like a good school and all that. But there's that moment when they're doing the game where you have to like peel off the sugar.
Yep.
And the smart guy, he figures out that you know, it's that game, and like he figures out that the easier the shape, the easier time you're gonna have. And he looks back at the main character,
like it
seems like he's about to tell him something, but he just decides not to.
Yeah,
all without dialogue, and you're like, oh yeah, you know exactly what's going on in his mind, right?
Right.
Like that's like how you're supposed to tell the story through the actions and through the visual medium of film.
Right.
And I feel like in this movie, it's like, oh, like let me tell you what I'm going to do, and like. And like there's all the internal monologue stuff that kind of, you know, is telling the audience what should be just shown.
I know. I see where he's like, I know you want the yakitori. You want the chicken.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's
like.
Good to let loose. He's like thinking about buying like the cheaper like chips. And then all of a sudden the guy comes and he's like, I know you want the chicken, man. Like, buy the chicken. I haven't had something greasy in a long time.
Yeah, like all of that. Like it's so dialogue heavy that it kind of takes away from the suspense and the moment like that could really like elevate it to like a really suspenseful thing.
Right. It's just like annoying because it also just adds time to everything, you know. Like I said, it's a little redundant in the fact that we understand the point, you know. And if you're just kind of re-spewing it or going into a long monologue or explanation verbally, like it's just that's when you get it. It's like prolonging the whole thing.
And yeah,
nothing. You're like frozen in time because nothing moves on.
Either, like they want to, you know, create the emotional moment, right?
Right.
Especially when they're doing the bridge, when they're on the bridge, they want to create that emotional moment between the main character and the and Koji.
Mm.
But it's like it actually does the opposite effect, where you're like,
die already.
No. Yeah, I mean, maybe not to that extent, but like, it's that moment when you're like, oh, like this is taking a really long time. Like your suspension of belief, disbelief, like starts to like erode.
Right.
When you're constantly in this like dragging on moment of him trying to, you know, be like, oh, don't go, like don't leave.
Yeah,
like, you can do it.
I'm
like,
not gonna leave without you.
I'm not gonna, yeah. Like you give the money to your daughter, like
yeah.
You know, that's all great and all, but like you're literally in the rain, you know, wind blowing apparently. And
the situation's like getting more and more
worse. Like, it's just not believable, right? Yeah. Like it just at least in Squid Game you had a platform where it's a lot more stable.
You I'm had like, time to be like,
you
all
can
right,
talk
we can
and
think
kind
now.
Of do something, yeah. Right? Whereas like this is like literally a beam and it's way more like harder.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Just physically to do something there. And I think that when you're like thinking about that and also like seeing them talk in that way, in that manner, it just kind of ruined it for me. and like Sahara too. He's all the whole time that they're doing that monologue, he's just been chilling next to him. He didn't even
not
go.
Even, yeah, no. He's like watching the whole thing.
Yeah,
like
what? Like, would you not think that he would have just like made it through? Like by the time
they finished talking.
Yeah, like stuff like that kind of like was like. Oh.
Yeah. Well, that was a good point about the platform. Is like, I think the main thing that I thought that I was kind of annoyed with was just that like it's not like this. Particularly the beam scene, it's not a particularly interesting thing to watch. Like,
that's
it's
true.
It's really straightforward. Of like,
you just go
you gotta cross. Yeah, you gotta cross, and then the whole thing about like, okay, you can walk on it, but you can't touch the beam was kind of dumb in itself.
And that's but, another thing that is actually really I think really prevalent here too in comparison with Squid Game, right. Is that in this movie the main character is loved by all people who are competing with him. He's basically the hero character, right?
Right.
Whereas in Squid Game, their opponents, they want to kill each other, right? Like they don't really care about each other. And that also adds another layer of like suspense and another layer of tension there.
Yeah.
Because you don't know if the guy next to you or behind you wants to kill you.
Yeah.
Whereas in this movie, you're like, they all are in it together. They all want to survive together and they're all on the same page.
Yeah.
And so like moving across the beam is literally just like there's only one objective there. Right?
Exactly.
You don't have to worry about the person behind you or in front of you. You just have to go through.
Yeah. And so it's like every time that something is abrupting that objective, it's like, why are we stopping?
Yeah. You don't have to stop.
Yeah.
You can have that whole monologue conversation at the end.
Yeah.
Once you've crossed.
Nothing is justified for you stopping the whole time.
Like and that frustrated me too. Whereas like that kind of tension in Squid Game made sense and it adds to it.
Right.
Whereas here it kind of made it worse.
That's what I said about like the platforms in Squid Game, because like the game was literally like crossing the beam, but there was, you know, it was like the glass and then a step on each side. So it made it like you actually had to decide what glass was fake or not.
Yeah.
So like it added in the game itself the suspense of right or wrong.
Yeah.
Where it's here, there's none of that. It's, like I said, it's just a straightforward objective. So there was no reason to stop. And like any time that there was the monologue or something obstructing them from going, which is not justified because why? like you all share the same goal.
There's like it's like the level of priority that they need to be doing is like get across first is like number one, right?
Exactly.
But they're trying to like do all these other things that are like lower priority first.
Right, right.
And that makes it feel like it's not believable.
Right. It just
sucks.
And then like drawing the line in the shoe with the marker. Where did he even get the marker from? Okay. Like where he just like pulled that out of his pocket.
Yeah.
Were you carrying that?
Did Tonegawa give you one? Just to like, yeah. Like, here you go. Like, you can have one.
I'm going to give you an edge in the competition. If you, you know.
I was like, what?
Like, where did that even come from? Yeah. And then, like, the line didn't even help. Like, it wasn't even a thing as they were walking.
Yeah,
it
was like, you can see their feet. They're literally, like.
Yeah, they're literally, like, sideways. Like, they're not even using it. This is the most retarded thing. And, like, then there's, like, the guy in front. It was like, there's wind.
Yeah.
There's like no wind.
Yeah.
It's great.
If there was wind and that powerful, you would just fall off, dude.
Yeah. You're just like,
how are you going to balance like that? It's really, you know, like at that height, it's really not easy. You know, there was actually a real life person who walked across the yep. Twin Towers.
Mm-hmm. I forgot his name.
Yeah, I forgot his name too. But he did it with like a pole and
yeah,
you know, to balance.
He was a tightrope walker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
there's a movie on him.
There is, yeah.
With Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
It's actually really good. Highly recommend.
Oh, you watched it?
Yeah, it was really good.
But yeah, I mean, you know, it's possible. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. But it's
it didn't look that hard. Like it looked thick enough.
Yeah, it looked like, pretty thick, like, man. Like, it wasn't like a tightrope.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't that bad.
You had enough space. I think you know, as much as the height might scare you, like as long as like
yeah, I know.
You know, you maintain that balance, it could have been done. You know, the rain I think is probably the hardest thing to overcome.
Right.
In that 100%. and possibly wind when if it is windy and rainy at the same time.
I thought like lightning was gonna strike on the pole because like the thunder came first.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, oh my god, it's already
but I mean, like logically, if you're thinking at that moment, you see the clouds coming, you see the rain or about to rain, you know, thunder. I'll be like, let me get through before yeah, it rains. Right. You know
let's
what
speed
I mean?
It up. Let's speed
yeah,
it up.
Let's speed this up. I'm already on it. I'm already in the middle of it. Might as well get through, right? And then the other guy. He's like that one dude who I think he was a Korean guy who yeah. was like going and then he's like, oh no, I want to go back. And he's trying to go back. And you're like, dude, how are you going to survive if you're going to go back through another human being? That's so much harder than going in front.
He's like, towards. And then he takes somebody down with him.
Yeah, it's like,
oh no.
Literally no one in front of you. Just go straight. You'll win money and you'll also survive. Like,
so dumb. It's right. Death montage.
Cute. Yeah, a lot of stressing, frustrating moments in that scene, for sure. And I think that's really where it kind of ruined it for me. But there, you know, there are little moments like we kind of mentioned the card game moments that kind of annoyed me. But even at the end, when they're doing the e-card game, what kind of did not make sense for me was Rinko's motivation.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like yeah. like the reason why she decided to give him a loan,
right?
It just didn't really like wasn't convincing for me, you know, like
it's like, well, even from like the start you can kind of maybe guess or kind of suspect that I don't know, she sees something in him, or like she's a definitely an important character of the movie, and like, you know, something's gonna happen with her and like Kaiji, and that they kind of take sides, but there's nothing specifically said that like pushes that over the edge.
Yeah, unless like, she's like completely like a gambler herself, and she's just like, yeah, I trust in this guy, this yeah. kid to, you know, win it for me, because like it's a very high stakes thing, right? Like yeah, she yeah. would have to go underground and she would have to work for forever and
right.
and like lose all of her or whatever, and just like the way that it happened, like it was just not convincing, you know, like, you know, how he yeah. realizes that he can win like at the elevator or like near yeah. the elevator, and then the bathroom thing, and then he's like, oh,
because it would win, be like Rinko Endo would have to be like, oh, I see something in this guy, like
right,
like he has to be like the one,
kind yeah, of like a Neo. There's situation. Something really like convincing enough in him, or like the way that he can do it that would like convince her to be all in it, because yeah. you know, it's basically her life, right? She's staking her life on him, and she didn't even look like she felt persuaded right. during the game when it, you know, that moment, the twist right before the twist.
Yeah,
she basically, you know, was like, "Oh crap, we lost."
Yeah, she's like, "I'm
like slave." She like, you know, starts walking her off, and then that's when, you know, he kind of flips it and he's like, "Oh no, it's a citizen, got you right." Da-da-da. But it's like, even she didn't trust in him at that moment, and then you know that happened. So it really kind of was like, ah,
like, whatever.
Yeah, it just really felt like they're just doing it so that they can have that moment with the main character, you know, being victorious over Tony.
I mean, they try to pin the whole thing on like that Endo was kind of like a rebel in the company, right? Because she never jived with the whole Squid Game thing of like
that. Like, also did not make sense. Like, why would she be there? Like,
well, remember, like in the very beginning, the way it sends it up, it's that like basically she was kind of, I don't want to say frowned upon in the company.
Yeah, but yeah, yeah.
Basically, Tanegawa kind of like took the cake or whatever. And there's like a gray area in the movie. And I guess you can kind of assume that Endo like maybe lost a high position in the company or just like took a hit to be kind of like an errand boy situation. And yeah, she just doesn't have like the same amount of like power. And she kind of like maybe has like a certain disdain for the company.
Yeah, no, I understand that. It just feels very, I guess, ironic and hypocritical of her to be like disgusted by the games that they're playing when she's literally the one that puts people into that position, right?
Right, right.
That's what I'm just like, okay. Yeah. Like, it's just like, okay, girl. Like, you're disgusted by this game, but you literally put people there. So it's just kind of,
But like the end, it was like she's no better than anybody, right? Because she swindles Kaiji at the end anyway. So, you know, it was all like, "Ah, you're too trusting, guy." Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It be what it be, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. The whole thing was.
I did like the e-card game though. I thought that was a pretty fun game.
The e-card game?
Yeah, like the citizen and like. I think that'd be a fun game to play in real life. like just to play.
Like a straight up guessing it.
Yeah, straight up guessing game. Kind of, it's also like the bluff. You can, you know, like the bluffing and
right.
And that aspect of the game, I think, is pretty neat.
Yeah. It's a good moment. I mean, like, that was like, okay, this is kind of what this movie is really about situation. Yeah. It's like, he also, Kaiji never really felt like the mastermind of a character that he is for me, you know? Where he's kind of, I guess, supposed to be like the thinker, right? Like
I think it's the duality, right? Like, it's like there are moments when he's so stupid and there are moments when he like tries to really like outwit people and it's that, like, it's too much of a polarity that you feel like it's inconsistent almost, right?
Sure.
It's like whenever you need to have him pull out that MasterCard, like, that's when he does it.
Yeah, yeah.
But never really feels like he's that character.
Right, right.
And then, I don't know if you understand fully what I mean, but yeah.
I kind of get what you mean, yeah. Because, like, he just feels like a loser,
yeah.
Like, 80% of the time they're watching him. And it isn't until, like, specifically, like, in the scenes and, like, when he's kind of, like, backed into the corner that it's like, ah.
Like, finally, my superpower.
Yeah, I got it, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like in all times, like, he, like, explodes with, like, this is my master plan after it's done. But, like, while, like, he's doing it, the narrative switches to, like, the other party, right?
Mm.
Whereas, like, I think, like, Funai, right, when he was like, I got this guy, like, I obviously know that it's, like, the scissors that he had because I swindled him before this game. Yeah. And then, when he flips it over, it's like, gotcha, bitch. and then we go into Kaiju is like, no, I got you. This is the plan, blah, blah, blah. And the same thing with, like, Tanegawa, where it's like, we're on in his mind for, like, a solid, like, 20 minutes, right?
Yeah.
And then at the very end, it's like, Kaiju's like, no, actually, I'd never swap the cards. I just wanted to make you think.
Yeah, that might be a, like we kind of talked about before, like a execution issue, you know? You know, as much as it is a character thing. I think it's because of that, the way that they portray it and execute it, that makes it feel that way, you know?
Right. Just a little dull,
yeah,
I guess.
Like, it feels too scripted. Like, it feels, I don't know, it feels like...
No, that's a good word.
You know, like, it literally feels... Like, obviously, yeah, it's scripted, but, like, it really feels like... Like, they're just, like, going in order and, like, making sure, like, everything, you know, fits and everything.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
they say all the words that they need to say.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
But with no, like,
yeah,
meaning or, like, meat behind, uh-huh, any of it, so to speak. Yeah, that's why it feels like so, like, an adapted work. Because it's like, oh, we should really hit, like, this part. And, like, we should really hit this part. Mm. And then we should really hit that part, you know. Like, we got to do the E card or whatever. We wouldn't do it justice if we didn't do the E card. You know, that kind of deal. But it is what it is. It was just kind of shocking, too, though, just to see, like... I mean, once we got to the bridge scene, I was like, oh, like, this was definitely... Like, Squid Game definitely took this. And, like, this was, like, a huge inspiration for that show. And just, like, shocking to be, like, how much better they did it. Mm. Like, how much it was, like... This is the Squid Game before the Squid Game.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's one of those moments where it's like you see something so bad and you go, I could do that. Like, I need to do that better.
You probably like, I could do this better.
He's like, I need to do that justice. That guy ruined my favorite manga.
It kind of really felt that way. And I haven't watched the manga. Maybe the manga's better.
Maybe. I haven't read it either.
But for sure, Squid Game is way better.
Yeah.
I think way better told, like, in execution. I think the general, like, games and stuff in this movie is not bad, really. It's right, not like, yeah, it's not like the rock, paper, scissors thing was bad. It's not like the beam thing was... I mean, I think the beam thing was the worst, like, weakest link in terms of games, but
yeah,
you also have to understand that it's a movie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, that's another thing, like, you only have so much time. And it's kind of unfair to be like, because Squid Game is a series and you, yeah, have a lot more time to develop things.
Yeah.
And if you do watch our Squid Game review, you would know that, you know, there were certain, like, I guess, criticisms or, like, you know, different things that we felt like that didn't work as well in Squid Game as well. But
yeah.
But overall, majority, like, of the time, we really did enjoy Squid Game. And I think... they did execute pretty well, like, really well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in this movie, it really falls into that trap of like, repetition and also just, like, constant telling the audience everything kind of thing.
Right, yeah.
And the length of it was, it didn't really warrant,
yeah,
the 2 hours and, yeah, and 15 minutes, I think it was, run time. Yeah.
Too long. And they're not doing anything with it. Yeah, I mean, like, you can kind of see, especially if you kind of compare it to Squid Games, like, the potential and sort of things that they could have taken advantage of. That, you know, maybe, like, simple things that just could have heightened the movie and kind of experience.
The tension of it, yeah.
Sure, yeah. Like I said, like, I think, for me, I think, like, the biggest thing is just, like, motivation and just giving, like, a reason as to why we're sort of watching it, or just a reason... like, why a character is doing a certain thing. Like we talked, Rinko, especially, with Endo. I think there's a lot of potential with that could have been done. With Kaiji as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, just some of the other characters.
Yeah, it's really, like, a very fundamental motivation issue and also execution issue.
Yeah.
And just, like, more show, don't tell issue. You right, know, like, right. those kinds yeah. of things that really, like, makes... it the potential of the movie kind of, you know,
go down.
Falls. Yeah. Yeah.
No potential.
I mean, there is a lot of I mean, obviously Squid Game, you can see that there is yeah, a lot yeah. of potential in the premise of this movie.
Right, right. It was Japan's fault why that guy had to, like, wait 10 years to get him in. You know, they were like,
yeah. But I mean, I think after watching this movie, there's so many things you'd be like, you can learn from it, right?
Yeah.
Like, all the things that you shouldn't do. I think he's like, oh yeah, we're this not going easy. To do yeah, that. We're going to, you know, walk this path instead of that path.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think that really, I don't know if he watched this movie. He probably did. Or at least the manga. If this yeah, is pretty yeah. true to the manga, then there is a lot there that yeah. you could kind of be like, yeah, I'm not going to do this because... And that's credit to the director, right? Like, understanding that you can't translate a manga one-to-one as well. Like, right. like there are things that, you know, work in film or work in mangas that don't work in film and work in films that don't work in mangas, right?
Right.
And, you know, that's also another thing that you need to understand if you want to adapt something. And
yeah.
Yeah.
It's a whole other conversation. We should dedicate an episode just for fun. Just for like, yeah. I kind of, that.
I mean, but another thing though, watching this movie, reviewing this movie it was fun comparing between the two once I realized.
It's just funny, like, I really didn't even think about it until the bridge scene. And
really?
It was like, and like, once you see the Brave Man's Road scene, it's like almost one to one to like,
it's so uncanny there.
Yeah,
but for me, I realized it as soon as like he got onto the ship, because like you see all the people who yeah. are like desperate for money and they're like basically fighting for, you know, money. I was like, oh, and they're playing a game. I'm like, oh, okay, like this is
Squid Games.
Yeah, this is Squid Game.
This is Squid Games.
0.5 yeah. or whatever.
The prequel.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was like, oh, and then like, you know, I was like doing it, and then the bridge, and then like once they pulled out the vest, I was like,
yeah, the vest
literally
like,
came
okay.
out of nowhere.
That's,
I was like,
literally
come on.
That.
Yeah, and then like the dinner scene, and everybody was rich, and like yeah, I was like, all right, I see it now. Mm. The curtains are pulled back. Uh huh.
Mm.
But yeah, overall, I don't know. I didn't like it. I'm not gonna lie to you. I skipped around a lot in this movie.
Really?
Because like, especially the bridging, because like I was like, oh, they're gonna spend like 20 minutes like
very
the
long.
Monologue, and I was like, I'm not sitting around for this.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Like the time that they spent on the monologue, that they spent on like suspense between like the tension between the characters, it probably would have made it better.
Yeah,
like you know, it would have actually been good if they were all in it together in the beginning, right? Right
yeah,
before
yeah.
they get on the bridge. And then they start going on the bridge. And then, like, people start getting scared. Like, one guy falls off. And right. then the guy behind him is going to be like, if they were like, oh, dude, like get off. Like, you have to go forward faster.
Yeah.
Like, if there was some kind of, like, yeah, immediate yeah. pressure because of, like, what the game that they're playing, that would have made it a lot more fun.
Yeah,
rather
yeah.
than them all being so kind to each other and being like, oh, like,
and like we're going to do it together. Yeah.
If the guy like, behind them was right. like, get out. Like, I really need to move. Like, I can't, like, stay here longer.
Right, yeah.
Like, if there was something that pushed them into conflict, it would have made it
yeah.
so much more suspenseful. And
well, that's what I was going to say. I think that's why, like, even the first Rock, Paper, Scissor card game was more interesting, because you had Funai
yeah.
there. And that just, like, he's the clear, like, mini-villain in that scene,
yeah.
obviously. And now you have two sides in that game, you know?
Mm.
It turned from one premise of, like, the game itself into a whole other conflict once
yeah.
Funai was introduced there.
Yeah.
You know? And that if you kind of had that angle with creating tension in the bridge scene, and, like, you had bad guys versus good guys there, like,
yeah.
that kind of could have added to it as well.
I agree. And the one like little thing that I kind of felt was a missed opportunity in the card game in the beginning
mm-hmm.
was when he was playing Funai. Like I knew that it wouldn't happen, but like I thought that if they did do it this way, it probably would have made Kaiji a more interesting character, and also made the whole scene better or
yeah.
or more interesting. Maybe not better, but more interesting was when Funai and Kaiji first start doing their draws, right?
Right.
And then Funai, this first, you know, first fake, first lie, right?
Right.
And if Kaiji, like, realized that he lied and he tested Funai and he did the opposite
something
of...
Yeah.
I thought that would have made it more interesting. I knew that they wouldn't do it. Just because, just the flow of the movie, I felt like they would just make
yeah.
Kaiji a dumb dude.
He's like the innocent like baby.
Yeah, innocent. You know? Like, and it's the first game, and he's kind of naive at that moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I kind of understood where they were going for in terms of that. Mm-hmm. But if they kind of made him into that like dude who kind of noticed it,
right,
and was like testing the waters and is like, oh, like I see him like making yeah, the wrong move, and he's like, he tests Funai in that way.
Right.
I thought it might have made that situation more interesting. But you would have to kind of change the whole scene, yeah, then, obviously. But I don't know. I thought that kind of would have given Kaiji credibility as possibly a good gambler, and also kind of, you know, develop this like tension between the two characters, you know.
Mm. What got me was like, even before that, they were like, Kaiji was like pinning himself, like, you know, like the black sheep amongst everybody. He's like, everybody's like, you know, going for Cradle Instincts. They're all going crazy. They're like, oh, we got to play the game of ball. He's like, no, they're all just feeding into it. Like, I got to sit here and think. Like, I got to think it through. There's got to be a way. And then he like sheeps himself.
He just gets like, saved. Yeah, yeah, he just gets like, you know, taken away by Funai.
It's just like, come on, man. Like, it was that easy.
Yeah.
I saw it coming. I was like, this guy's going to rip you off, bro. He's just going to...
Yeah, like, it's just, there's so... Like, okay, like, the first time he you know, rips you off, right?
Red flags.
First time, you know, it's okay. First time, you know, is passable. The second time, you know, is your fault, right? Like, yeah, the third time is your... Definitely, yeah. Fool me once, right? And I think that's the thing, right? It's like, is he really that, like, dumb?
Yeah,
and that kind of ruined it for me, because it's like, you know, like what we talked about, that kind of like polarity where like there's these moments of genius that he does, and then there's these moments where he's just completely stupid.
It's like, are you? I don't know who is who. I don't know who. Yeah, he like, is. Like it doesn't really work. But
and I do think that the actor kind of felt like he was overacting at moments, you know, like
yeah
it just I know
that for everybody, but
well yeah, but like him in general, I think that there especially there's just moments where he just feels so like I don't know, almost fake. Like it's just he's just like it's animated like, in ways kind of feels like a manga or in one way, or like, you know, like sometimes some Japanese movies do this a lot where like they just like have this really bombastic acting style,
mm-hmm.
which kind of, I don't know, didn't work as well for me.
I mean, but like it's different here. Like it feels way more dramatized, or just like, yeah, like out of reality a little bit, right? Like, you know, like in the beginning, like even when we first meet him, it's kind of like that when he's like kicking the Mercedes and like all that stuff and like getting the beer. And then, like, everything just kind of adds to that, like...
Like, you can pass it off as, like, his personality, but, like, still, it just kind of feels a little
even
too...
Even in the world that it's lived in, it's, like, kind of feels that way, so... But, I mean, it's a reuniting cast from Death Note, if you remember.
Exactly.
We got him back, Light, and then we got a little cameo, not really cameo, by Kenichi Matsuyama.
Yeah.
Who, like... I hardly even recognized in the movie, and then he goes and dies.
Like, no, I saw his face. It was like it was a very familiar face. I just couldn't link where he was from.
Little minor role for L in the movie. Waste of talent, but it's okay. It's cool. Mm. Don't worry. It's not. You know, it's whatever.
The wind pressure was ridiculous too. I was like.
It really got me when he was like, Tanagawa is like, it's all according to my plan.
And it was funny because Kaiji was like looking up.
He's like, something's wrong.
He sees the old man's face.
Yeah, I saw him and I was like, who the fuck is that? Like, I really forgot who that guy was for a while.
That was so random too. I'm like, huh?
It's like, what?
Yeah, why does that make you feel like something's wrong?
I know.
It's just, it was...
My thing is like, okay, hold on. So you're in slavery, right? Like, you've been given this chance. You lose the game. It's like in Squid Games when that guy comes up to you and he's like, you want to, like, play the card game or whatever? Yeah. And then you lose, and then you get put into slavery or whatever, right? And then you're in slavery for, like, a month. Some of those people are in slavery for, like, years, we're going to guess, right? but they can apparently they can all volunteer themselves for Brave Man Road.
Yeah.
And nobody just is like, we should just do that.
Yeah.
Is that not better than?
I mean, there's a lot of like things that don't work, right, in this movie. Yeah. And that, like, that is another thing. Yeah. Like, it's like only he volunteers for that. Like, you have an opportunity to leave, make money, and, you know, like, yeah, get out. But
and you get offered more money than what you were initially offered.
That's true.
In the first game.
That's true.
What was it? Like $3 million in the, yeah, the Lockbird
Scissors? Something like that.
But here you can get $10 million.
Yeah. And if it was that easy to just like, because like, what's his name? The guy who was on the bridge, who was in the hospital.
Oh yeah,
I forget his name. What's his name?
Sahara.
Yeah, Sahara. Yeah, like he, it made it sound like he had no more choice.
Yeah,
which is why he did that. But literally anyone can volunteer. Yeah,
that's like the impression. And then Kaiji's like, no, I'm going to go too. And we're like, that was allowed the whole time. Are you serious?
That was also funny. It was like, you made it seem like it was like the.
And then Koji goes with him. So like he brought like everybody with him.
Yeah, that too. Was, yeah, he just comes along too.
So,
yeah.
So stupid.
It just made it seem like it was like this, like, you know, last resort kind of thing.
Right.
And it was like, you just volunteer if you want.
You only get this option if you can't be a slave anymore. Uh-huh. It sounded like...
If you can't work, you know, if you can't be a slave anymore, yeah.
It's like an all or nothing option for like, if you get lucky to have it. But no, everybody
can. Anyone can do it if you want. So. And then they have a TV watching it too.
And that was like... In the... Are they going to make an example out of this guy? Like, what was that all about?
I was like, what's the point of that? What's the point of like showing them what the game is? Isn't it the point of like,
oh, yeah, that was
the
like an
suspense,
exclusive,
right? Like you don't know what the game is, so like when you're volunteer, you're volunteering for the unknown, but you kind of ruin that moment if you get to watch everyone
Here's
doing
what you
it.
Can expect now. Oh man, yeah, it doesn't work. Because some things just don't work. It's funny. It's fun though. It's a good laugh.
I liked the comparisons to it, and I think, you know, there's things that they could have improved on it. I did enjoy the two games, at least the first one and the third one. Like the third one, I think the first game was probably the most polished. Polished, but I think the third one was I liked it the most, but it was kind of, you know, predictable, I guess, right?
Right.
You know, first two, he loses, and then third one, he comes back. It's kind of par for the course for this kind of thing.
Redemption arc.
Yeah, redemption arc.
I thought he was going to do it in, like, one game, and it kind of tripped me up when he, like, lost, then had to go to Endo, and then, like, comes back.
What I was, like, kind of baffled by was, like, he had... three chances, right?
Yeah.
And he loses in two games. He's just like...
But then he like wins... Then he goes back for another 3-1, I suppose. But then he wins one game and then like wins it all. So I was like, why didn't you just play...
No, I think he's taking up on the last chance that he had instead of another 3-1.
Right.
So like he loses two games. So he technically has one game left.
Right.
And so that's what he's... like saying, oh, I'm gonna play one more game, and then Tonegawa's like, you don't have any money.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, but I do have money, right? But it's just like,
okay, fair.
It's just kind of like, did you not have the foresight to think about like splitting your money in three? You know,
I thought that's what he did in the beginning when he was
that's what I'm saying.
He was like,
The possibility of losing twice and then I'll have one more chance to, you know, redeem myself. But no, he's like, oh yeah, I just lost it in two. That's the thing. Like, I'm like, is he thinking? Like, is he like, you know, like,
where's your brain
calculating
like
these things, or like, does he just have these spark of brilliance? Like, it just kind of annoys me in that way.
Just little moments. They come and go for it. Kaiji.
Yeah.
They come and go.
And Rinko is betting on that dude. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Like,
it's like, well, if you got it wrong the first two times, then the genius sparks
third
on the
time's
third.
Charm,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, what is your favorite game of that? How did you like the movie?
Yeah.
Is Kaiju your favorite character of all time?
Out of the three movies that we've watched so far.
Is this number one on the list? And what did you think of this in Squid Games as well? Actually, it's a very interesting comparison that we found out. But on the next week, what we're watching for the last episode of the series is Kaiju 2.
You know, I'm actually kind of interested. Like, I wonder, like, how the other two movies would be like.
I want to watch the third one just because it like, came out
in recently.
10 years. Like what? What made them like actually finish that so long after?
Maybe the manga is good.
Probably.
Yeah.
I'll give it a little read. I'll check it out and see. But no. For real, we won't be watching Kaiju. We'll actually be watching March Comes in Like a Lion. You know, that's kind of a sweet transition from here because like that's an actual game and not gambling at all. Because they don't, there's no wagering money. It's just a board game. Mm. So they're playing to compete. But that kind of moves in here. We're like break away from like the casino games, and then now we're like into actual games. So I'll take that. I'll justify it in that way. But yeah, we're watching the first one. That one also has a sequel, and there's supposed to be a third movie. I don't know where this third movie is. I might complain some more next week, though, so we'll wait for that. But yeah, so March Comes in Like a Lion came out 2017, and I will see you for that one. Otherwise, a quick shout-out to our Patreon page. If you want to see March Comes in Like a Lion and a review early, go ahead and subscribe, along with bonus episodes and other goodies. Other than that, we'll see you next week. Peace.
Bye.